prone to develop kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the3w's.thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3. I was feeling so bad. I asked my family doctor just what I had. I said, doctor,
doctor,
Mr. MD,
doctor,
now can you tell me?
Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day here on Herb Talk. It's about empowerment. Frank's ready. I'm ready. Thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network. We got a great show. First part of the show, we are going to be talking about science and prayer. Does science have a prayer? Well, we're going to see. And we have a crack report and all that good stuff. But before we get to all that good stuff, we're going to do a big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. We're hitting the knees and we're seeking the Lord's face and we're minding the time because it grows short. So our devotional today is I'm going to read you the other flip side of this handout that I was sent by someone on prayers. There was a morning prayer. Now I'm going to read you the evening prayer. And it goes like this. Heavenly Father, you are gracious and merciful. Though I miss the mark every day, you promise me a full, abundant life, true freedom, and in your presence. And yet, I confess that following you sometimes feels like a burden, and I'm quick to reach for something or someone else. And as I reflect on my day, I ask for courage to comfort me, and I call on you and I cling to you and your guidance in this life that is truly free, a life of free of sin, free of empty performances, unrealistic expectations, apathy, and pride. Father, help me rest in the abundance that comes from communion with you, and lead me to eternal joy, and help me to stay near you with every step. Amen. That's right. If you get away from the Lord, it's a problem. So if you don't know the Lord, seek his face and mind the time that grows short. He is the way to eternal life, and I mean eternal. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, got a few things in the quack report. Let's see, prescription for nothing. Apparently, this is a study on how many prescriptions are written for antibiotics. This was a study done by an assistant professor of epidemiology, Professor Jonathan Baghani, Maryland School of Medicine, who found out the study suggests that primary care clinicians aren't following widely accepted recommendations against prescribing antibiotics for asymptomatic bacteria. So apparently they found 7 in 10 doctors give patients unnecessary antibiotics for infections that may not call for an antibiotic. Mm-hmm. All right, moving along in the quack report. Here's a study. There's no such thing as long COVID. This is the National Institute of Health. They released a new study that debunks the existence of that long COVID thing. The reality is that people who claim to be still suffering from COVID or long COVID are more likely imagining it, the government study said. Most likely thing is that simple anxiety may be, or even paranoia may be the thing they're thinking. It's not COVID. All right, moving along. Let's see. Supposedly safe abortion pill puts young ladies, 5 of them in Ohio, in the hospital. So you probably heard about the abortion or the morning after pill called RU486. They renamed it, Frank. They renamed that pill. I'm trying to find what they called it here. But this is a pro-life group called Operation Rescue. They were able to get copies of 100 patient reports where the information involved this morning after pill. So they also – they call it an abortion fascinant drug. They recalled it Mifepristone instead of RU486, because RU486, kind of controversial little name there. Do you know what that means, Frank? I had someone explain it to me. They said in the military, 86 means to take somebody out, to kill them. So the drug is RU4Killing. Think about it. And so they renamed it. And let me just say, these ladies who had problems, they were in the hospital. All 5 of them had to have, they bled so much they needed blood transfusions. Some of them only had partial abortion, and they had other complications. Several of them had to go through a standard abortion to remove the growing fetus. So anyway, a real mess. Well, that's what happens when you want to kill the image you got, right? All right, last but not least in the quack report, patient says doctors left a breathing tube in his body for 30 years. My goodness, this is 39-year-old Renee Ramesh from Queens, New York. Apparently what happened to him in a nutshell is he was at his grandparents' house, and as a young kid of like 5 or 6, he fell out a window, two-story window, and he wound up fracturing his skull, went to the hospital, and they had to put him on a breathing tube and a respirator until he got better. So for 30 years, he's had stomach problems, breathing problems, all these problems. And he went down to Mexico, and he started having some really bizarre things happen to him. The doctors down there thought he was having pneumonia or bronchitis and just gave him antibiotics and sent him on his way. So when he got back to New York, he decided to go to Mount Sinai, which they did a scan. Nobody thought to do a scan. They did a CAT scan. They found a breathing tube in his stomach. 6 inches long. So they had to do surgery to remove it. And then he hired an attorney to sue the other hospital that, you know, didn't remove the breathing tube properly or allowed it to be swallowed and blah, blah, blah. And they needed the tube as evidence, and so Mount Sinai wouldn't give it to him. He had to sue the hospital, Mount Sinai, who removed it, to give it to him as evidence. Goodness. See? You know, they're supposed to count everything, you know, that they use on a patient to make sure they didn't leave anything left behind. But sometimes things get skipped, so keep that in mind. And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Oh, thanks, Frank. Okay, we're going to talk about science and prayer. I think prayer is pretty powerful, you know. I'm a big proponent of prayer. But here it is, and this was a University of Arizona study in 07, and they set out to scientifically answer the question if prayer is answered by God. How do you suppose you go about answering that scientifically? Well, the research also got published in the Journal of Research on Social Work Practice in March 2007. So the notion that prayer is helpful when people need healing is a controversial subject in medical science. And I'm a big believer, like I said, of prayer. It's powerful, and God's going to answer prayer if it's within his will for that person or persons. So his ways are higher than our ways. So we're going to take a look at this study and some others and see how they were conducted and what their conclusions were. Oh, Frank's weighing in. What, Frank? To prove scientifically. Yep. Well, I mean, yeah, to prove prayer is scientifically there is simply a lie. Yeah. Well, I know. I mean, you can't prove something spiritual like that. Not really, scientifically speaking. But we're going to get to all that, Frank. You're getting ahead of me here. All right, so we're looking at this study at the University of Arizona, and they stated in their report that they analyzed 17 major studies on the effects of prayer and intercessory prayer, where you pray for another person, and apparently they found that prayer had positive benefit for people with medical and physiological or psychological problems. Here's a quote from the report. They said, "We did a meta-analysis which takes into account the entire body of empirical research on intercessory prayer. When using this procedure, we find that prayer offered on the behalf of another person yielded positive results." And that's by David Hodge, professor at the College of Human Services at Arizona State. All right. So the meta-analysis he's talking about is when they used or they took data from several independent studies on the subject. And the research really does not advocate to only pray for people in medical need, but also maybe the therapeutic treatment shouldn't be neglected as well. They made that point. So the study did measure that prayer with hands-on care can often improve outcomes. So prayer with therapeutics, they say, is very beneficial in that study. Let's go on to study number two. This is research from Brandeis University. It's a private research university in Waltham, Massachusetts. Also delved into the topic of prayer and wellness. And they went back to 1965 looking at research on prayer when it was first found in published research. Here is a quote. This is by one of the lead researchers, Wendy Cage, at Brandeis University. And she's also the author of the book Paging God, Religion in the Halls of Medicine. She says this: "Some people feel they do not need confirmation from science to confirm their faith that prayer works on behalf of the person prayed for. And what we found is that the research over the last 40 years on prayer or intercessory prayer actually say more about the scientists conducting the studies than about the power of prayer to heal," end of quote. So Ms. Cage pulled some published research on the topic from 1965 to 2006, and within this time frame, the influence of religion in the medical science area kind of changed, in which the gold standard in clinical trials was developed, and the incentive to conduct prayer studies over the last four decades was really not discussed. Now, some of the studies concluded that prayer worked, while others said it didn't work. Overall, these studies included things like applied clinical scientific methodologies. They asked if praying family members were considered a clinical control group. They tried to determine what the correct dosage of prayer would be and how the prayer should be conducted or offered, and also to determine if non-Christian intercession influences outcomes. That's what they were looking at. So, as you can see, the line of thinking here to determine if prayer has benefit is kind of full of problems, scientifically speaking. So Miss Cage thought that the way science was going about this topic was kind of misguided. And she goes on to say this: when using double-blind clinical trial techniques, the scientists try their best to study something, but this may have been beyond their best tools. This reflects more about the scientists and their assumptions than about if prayer works, end of quote. And one scientist at one of the previous studies wrote this: we do not need science to validate our spiritual beliefs, as we would never use faith to validate our scientific data, end of quote. Well, you know, these measuring tools they were using, you know, how do you use those in the spiritual realm, really? How does one scientifically analyze faith and the power of the Holy Spirit? I doubt man can actually measure these things because they are not carnal, they're spiritual. And healing prayers are asking for supernatural intervention from God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there are really no calculations that can summarize that. There's no microscope or a listening device that can see or even hear it. So how do you analyze a miracle from God? Well, sometimes it is God's wisdom, though, to call a person home to heaven. So when we do pray for his help, we should really ask God's will be done in the matter. You know, you're looking at his will to be done. And I don't think science can even measure that. God's will? No. Mm-mm. What'd you say, Frank? To analyze faith is to diminish faith. I get that. Well, there was this media report back in 2006. CNN did a report on praying to improve health and well-being. And this was some studies done conducted by Jeff Levin. He's a professor of epidemiology and population health at Baylor University. The research did wind up in the Journal of Religion and Health Findings. And here's a couple of quotes from their report. They say 90% of Americans have prayed for healing, according to the study. Belief in God and healing prayer might be one of the most prevalent forms of primary care medicine. And I don't say that lightly, Jeff said. He goes on to say, in our study, we conclude that prayer may be one of the most widely used forms of medical treatment among Americans who also use prayer in conjunction with medical care. He says there is a hidden substrate of spirituality in this country that is bubbling beneath the surface. This is not marginal or minor in its expression. It is, according to him, ubiquitous. It's everywhere. He says also more than a quarter of Americans have practice the laying on of hands for the healing prayer of another, and this is not an alternative practice, end of quote. Interesting. So the statistics from Jeff Levin's study on the amount of or how many Americans pray, these are the statistics he came up with. He says 78.8% of participants have prayed for healing for themselves at some point in their lives, and 32.4% do so often. 87.4% have prayed for healing of others, and 51.1% do so often. He said 54.1% have asked for prayers for their health. 26.1% have given a laying on of hands for healing. 53% have participated in prayer groups, prayer circles, or prayer chains. All right. Yeah. And, you know, books have been written on prayer and healing. There's lots of books and authors out there. Many books on the topic of prayer and healing. And there are some quotes now from this one book, The Healing Power of Prayer, by Chester Tolson, Ph.D., and Dr. Harold Koning, M.D. They said this: "It's a scientific fact. Prayer heals. Recent medical and psychological studies claim that prayer can relieve stress, improve attitudes, and mend bodies. Prayer generates peace, power, and health, a triple preventative that guards against anxiety and disease. It's a simple act that heals." They also said prayer has been reported to improve outcomes in human as well as non-human species, and to have no effect on outcomes, or to worsen outcomes, and to have retrospective healing effects. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, the Bible confirms this, what he just said. However, the book of all books, really, to mention the power of prayer is the Bible. You know, there was disciple prayer, and, you know, to stop the sun, to stop the rain, you know, to help armies be victorious over enemies. There's all a bunch of prayers in there. So there are many examples in the Bible where there were prayer, laying on hands, anointing the sick, and they were used for healing. Yeah, they were. And the natural herbal medicine also God created and wrote about in the Bible tells us it's going to benefit our health also. So all through Scripture, herbs are mentioned to be of great assistance to the human body. And we should not disregard or neglect that knowledge. So if any of you out there would like to begin your journey learning about God's herbs to improve, let's say, immune system, to cleanse away toxins, and to strengthen metabolic functions, cardio, liver, and so forth, well, you know, you can do that today. You can do that today, and it'll empower you. You will be amazed how empowered you'll be. I would say call the folks at Apothecary Herbs and get their free product catalog. It's just a phone call away, or you go on their website and request it there at thepowerherbs.com. Their toll-free number is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. And if you're outside the U.S., dial 828-469-5972, 828-469-5972. And again, the website, thepowerherbs.com. Also, you can sign up for their free online newsletters, the American Survival and Health Quest, that go out each week. They're absolutely free, and you'll get empowering health tips in there. And you can share all that with your family and friends. They also have the radio show archive up there on the website. So if you missed a show of Herb Talk, you can go back and listen to that anytime for free. You just click on the Herb Talk tab and select the show you want to listen to. So there's lots of ways to learn. There's lots of ways to seek the truth that God put in the Scripture for our health and wellness. Because he doesn't expect us to need a pharmaceutical company here to be well. Now, I believe modern medicine has a shining point, and that's trauma care, definitely. But, you know, drugs for life and over-prescribing, all that stuff is not really very helpful. You know, treating symptoms and not the cause is not very helpful long-term. It's not. So if you're looking for a better way, the Scriptures can guide you. They certainly can. They've guided me through these years. What'd you say, Frank? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Yes, the Bible does say that. So, yeah, I mean, if God says herbs are here for the service of man, the healing of the nations, and the good book says God can't lie, we can just really bank on that. There's so much truth. And in that statement, you can't go wrong. Not really, no. So if you just look at some of the plants out there, people are a lot anxious now about a lot of, you know, whispering of pandemics and new ones. The pitcher's plant has a smallpox inhibitor. The gentian root has an Ebola hemorrhagic fever inhibitor. Your herbs have these disease inhibitors in them. Your garlic is kind of very broad spectrum against viruses, bacteria, fungi, and things. So it's very broad spectrum. And then recently, science just discovered dandelion root kills all known cancer cells. So you have tools, you just didn't know about them. You weren't taught them. So now, you know, I think this is the time God is resurrecting that kind of information for the health and well-being of people that he loves. And we should be listening and taking note. We really should pay attention. Pay attention! So, I mean, a lot of people get into herbs sometimes when it comes to a personal event, you know, something close to home. I was in medicine, working in clinics. I was working in physical therapy clinics, and I was working in anesthesia. I was working in intensive care, neurology at one point. I was working in for a neurological surgeon for one point. So, I mean, I was working in different facets, and I was learning a lot about the healthcare industry, and quite shocking some of the things I learned. And it isn't what everybody thinks it is, you know, because we have assumptions we make about things. But I was still working in that industry when a family member became ill, and medicine left us with no other option but to seek alternatives. So we did. And I want to tell you, I was amazed, shocked in a good way. I was so impressed with how the natural herbs turned the whole situation around, like in 24 hours, that I want to learn how to do that. So I went to herb school to learn how to do that. And I'm not saying I know everything, because I don't, because the master herbalist would be God himself. So we always keep learning every day on things. We can't say we know everything, because we don't. So don't let, you know, some sort of family event, you know, be your spark to, you know, take that step on the journey or that path to wellness. You know, you can do that today. So hopefully you will. And it's not hard. It's not rocket science. People get scared of it. They think, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to use. I don't know what dose to use. Chill, relax. It's not like taking a prescription drug where you can overdose or take too much. Herbs are very forgiving because they're whole food chemistry, or they should be, you know, if you get the right ones. And so the body takes from the photonutrients that it wants, and you can, your body flushes out what it doesn't without side effect or residue buildup. So it's not like a prescription drug. So if modern medicine or the science or the pharmaceutical drug companies took a plant like willow bark, extracted the salicin to make an anti-inflammatory, it leaves behind all the other mineral and nutritional elements that the body needs to use that salicin properly. And when you don't have that, this is where you get side effects. So that's why your drug company stuff will have side effects, because they can't patent what God made. They got to change it in some way. So it's been changed, and you will get side effects. An example is aspirin from willow bark, salicylic acid, but when they change it, it becomes acetyl salicylic acid, and it creates bleeding issues. It also interferes with immunity by lowering fever. So real salicin in its whole food state doesn't do those side effect things. It's very gentle, lifts pain and inflammation in a gentle way, doesn't stress the kidneys or the liver. So start thinking, it's not that hard. You can do it. And you'll be empowered. You will be game changer. All right, we have to take a little break. We'll be right back with more. We'll be right back.
pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
"007, your assignment is to find out what herb secrets herbalist Wendy Wilson has on Herb Talk Live."
Apothecary Herbs announces a brand new formula to help balance blood pressure from head to foot, strengthen your heart muscle, and reduce cholesterol. Now you have a professional strength alternative that works all without fear or worry of serious side effects. Empower yourself. Become independent from the expensive drugs. Call Apothecary Herbs and ask for heart, blood pressure, and cholesterol formula toll-free. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. Heart, blood pressure, and cholesterol formula is just $24.95 and comes with a money-back guarantee. So get a pencil and write this down. Apothecary Herbs, toll-free, 866-229-3663 or on the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes the nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
Harmonica. Thank you, Frank. All right, we're going to be talking about a little bit of bowel inflammatory diseases because a lot of people out there with these problems, ulcerative colitis, diverticulitis, a lot of inflammation. Itis at the name of at the end of the diagnosis means inflammation. So bowel inflammation is huge, and it's hitting younger and younger people. And a lot of times it's directly related to, you know, diet, what they're eating. But people rather not change with their eating habits. They rather just, you know, pop pills and stuff like that. It's much easier, but it keeps the gut sick. It's just chasing a symptom, and soon a lot of those drugs don't work. And then you got real problems. So we're going to take a look at some medicine, you know, what they were saying millions of people need to use for ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease and things, and then we'll look at maybe the natural way. So some of the statistics on your ulcerative colitis really have gone up. It's a tragic condition for sure. 1.4 million Americans have it. The condition, also known as Crohn's disease, which is an inflammatory bowel disease, this one as well is affecting a large population where the diverticulitis affects the entire bowel. Your ulcerative colitis usually only affects the large intestine. So according to our health authorities, inflamed bowel conditions have increased 74% since the 1990s. So medicine is reporting that 57,000 people usually get admitted to the hospital every year with these conditions. And Crohn's disease often attacks patients early during the ages of 15 to 30. So a lot of kids in high school and college tend to develop those bad eating habits then, and the condition follows them. So, you know, college students very prone to these conditions. They're eating at the canteen, which is a lot of fast food stuff, fried stuff. They got Mylanta in their dorm room. That's what they're living on. So they don't change their habits. They're not going to change this problem. So a statistic is showing that patients with these types of conditions are becoming much younger and younger as the years go on. Canadians seem to have an epidemic of these conditions, highest rates on digestive malfunction and disease worldwide. That's Canada. So what'd you say, Frank? Frank is saying the 1990s, you say, well, isn't that about when GMO garbage food started being put into the marketplace? Yeah, that could have something to do with it. You know what? You just reminded me of something, Frank. When I was in high school, my mom and my grandmother were in the kitchen, and they were cooking stuff up for dinner. And my mom said, "Why are the bones black?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" She goes, "The chicken. We just roasted a chicken, and the bones are black." They've never seen that before. Well, the bones started getting black. This is in the 70s because the way they took care of poultry changed. They started injecting the birds with all kinds of nonsense. And when you roasted the birds or heated the bones of the birds, they turned black. Have you never noticed that, Frank? They got this black. It's almost like they're charred. Anyway, it's not that you burnt your chicken. It's because they did something to the bird. You know, they injected stuff under the skin, stuff to make the skin look nice when it browned, all that kind of nonsense. Yeah. All right. So let's look at Crohn's disease real quick. So in the world of medicine, like I said, itis is at the end of a word, indicates inflammatory conditions. So Crohn's is defined by medicine to be from the immune system. That's attacking healthy flora in your digestive tract. Without healthy flora, inflammation occurs and the walls of the bowel thicken. And medicine is really not sure why this occurs. Well, could it be from the prescription of medications which, you know, negatively influence the immune system, the digestive flora, the whole tract? So I believe that's the case. But medicine, you know, kind of hints that Crohn's is more likely inherited, genetic. And medicine also blames Crohn's disease on environment, you know, high stress, and also tends to be in developed countries. So as mentioned, Crohn's involves, you know, the small and the large intestine, includes symptoms of abdomen pain, diarrhea, weight loss, inflammation of the ileum, where the small and large intestine connect, and is most often involved in the inflammatory area. So the condition starts usually in the stomach and then the small intestine and then moves to encompass the entire digestive tract, known as the gastroduodenal Crohn's. That's what the medical term is. So patients have problems with appetite, keeping a healthy weight, nausea, vomiting, severe abdominal pain, cramping. So when the disease largely affects the large intestine, there can be acute diarrhea, fatigue, night sweats, fever, rectal bleeding, joint pain, skin lesions. So if the patient is female, it also will disrupt menstrual cycle. Children with the condition will have delayed development, so Crohn's can produce ulcers to form on the intestine, which are like acne, pretty much. And these are toxins that really can't leave the body fast enough through the normal channels. They tend to produce ulcers or fistulas. So colon cancer also can be a complication of the disease, and medicine is going to prescribe immune system suppressants, anti-inflammatory and pain reliever drugs. They'll run blood and fecal tests, schedule endoscopies, sigmoid scopies, MRI, CT scans, possibly surgery to remove infected diseased tissue of the colon. And about 70% of patients are 70% of patients are led to surgery, 30% to 60% will need additional surgeries. So patients are told there's no cure for this. Medicine's going to manage it for you. They don't cure inflamed bowel tissue. It's really not that hard. But there's no money in curing you. There's money in managing your symptoms, see. Now, very severe conditions will net the medical industry $60,000, and the top 2% will pay $300,000 a year. So medicine says there's no cure. It rebukes the suggestion the condition is caused by your diet, and they instruct patients to eat good nutritional make good nutritional decisions critical during their recovery to reduce their symptoms, but they really don't have much to say about what is a good healthy diet. Ulcerative colitis, well, according to the Colitis Foundation, a lot of inflammatory bowel disease started to materialize before the Civil War, they said. Okay, so the Civil War was 1861 to 1865, and the spike in sugar consumption started to rise in the 1700s, but took off in the mid-1800s. So the sugar and stress element in the timeline fits. However, Crohn's and colitis conditions were not official medical conditions until 1875. They didn't even get official medical names until 1932. So antibiotics were also being used in the early 1911 era, with penicillin in mass distribution by 1932. So the symptoms of colitis are acute diarrhea, rectal bleeding, pain, chronic inflammation, weak intestines, and the toxins in the colon tend to cause massive swelling or enlargement of the intestines. And complications of having a sick digestive system would be red and itchy eyes and eye pain, mouth sores, swollen painful joints, skin lesion, rash, bumps, sores, ulcerations, osteoporosis, kidney stones, liver conditions like hepatitis and cirrhosis, and blood clots. Whoa. Now, there was a drug that medicine came up with on the market to address inflammatory bowel conditions. It was called Entyvio, and it was mainly prescribed for adults with ulcerative colitis and, when the conventional drugs weren't really working for patients in Crohn's disease. Sometimes that happens. So the drug is promoted as improving the lining of the large intestine. And patients are told their symptoms will improve and their disease will be in remission. Now, remember, remission doesn't mean cure. It just means lessening of symptoms. So the word remission gets confused with cure. So hopefully you're smart out there and you know the difference. So documents on this drug warn not to take Entyvio if you've recently been vaccinated or have a long-term infection. The drug is really not to be taken if there are liver problems, tuberculosis, or if the patient is pregnant or breastfeeding. And let's check out the common side effects of this. Induced cold symptoms, headaches, fatigue, joint pain, back pain, extremity pain, nausea, fever, upper head infections like sinusitis and throat pain, cough, bronchitis, rash, and itching. Now, some of the serious side effects would be severe allergic reactions, swelling of the lips, tongue, throat, or face, shortness of breath, trouble breathing, wheezing, dizziness, fever, but not feeling hot, being feverish but not feeling hot, heart palpitations, infections, and that can produce fever, chills, muscle aches, cough, runny nose, sore throat, shortness of breath, red and painful skin and sores, as well as tiredness, pain during urination, liver problems with dark urine, yellowing of the skin or eyes, or progressive multifocal leukemioencephalopathy, which is rare. It's a viral brain infection. It produces disability or death, and there's really no cure for that, medicine says. And I want you to take note, people with inflammatory bowel diseases are often given immune system suppressants, which make them weaker. The drug manufacturer states that patients with weak immune systems are more likely to develop these severe symptoms, especially the rare brain infection. So they increase your risk of those things when they put you on the drugs for this. The mortality factor, according to the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation, Crohn's disease has a higher mortality rate over colitis. The death rate, they blame it on the cancer complication or other complications like heart disease or urinary tract infection. So probably won't be the main thing on the death certificate. So what's your risk? Well, statistics are showing that there are cases of Crohn's, more cases of Crohn's than ulcerative colitis. So if you're listening to the medical health authority, these conditions are too hard to predict who would be at risk. And they claim the conditions are so complicated that your genes and your environment play such a role they can't predict or even say how to get cured. So you mean to tell me that after all the historical data and the correlations to stress, sugar intake, reduction of food nutrition since World War II, which is skyrocketing, by the way, and your GMO, like Frank points out, and they don't know? Well, what can you say? I think even Stevie Wonder can see what this is. But Hippocrates said 460 to 377 BC, let your food be your medicine and your medicine be your food. And he also said, if you are not your own doctor, you're a fool. Yeah, you know your body better than anybody. You know when certain things bother you more than others. You know, I tell people you may be allergic to your diet. Why don't you keep a food journal? You know, and see how you respond to certain foods within 1 or 2 days. That should tell you something. Now, if you're allergic to a food and you know it, go off of the food for 2 weeks. It'll take 2 weeks for that protein to come out of your system. And then if you want to test, you can reintroduce the food into the diet, and you'll know something within 2 days. Those symptoms will return. So then that's a confirmation. So that's a really inexpensive way for you to do your own allergy testing instead of having the allergy tests, which really aren't that comprehensive. You know, they only test for 12 things unless you go to a medical university where they can test for many, many more things. So here another Hippocrates says all disease begin in the gut. Yeah, it's the last stage of toxin removal too. If your bowel's inflamed and you're not extracting the right amount of nutrition from the foods and you're not able to expel the right amount of toxins in a timely manner, you got a big systemic problem. Big. Hippocrates said, healing is a matter of time, but it's sometimes also a matter of opportunity. Yeah, you actually have to do things, change things, if you want a different outcome. Things aren't going to change unless if you keep doing what you're doing. Bowel cleansing, it's not about transit time. It's not about, you know how many bowel movements a day you're having. It's about removing the toxins. It's pulling them out of the colon tissue that's inflaming it. Cleanse and nourish, folks. It's basic and simple, but it's effective. And people just aren't listening. They're just not seeing it. They're not seeing that picture. I once dated a person in college that had what I believe the beginnings of diverticulitis and Crohn's disease. Always had a bottle on my Lanta, like I said. And I asked him, you know, his mother had problems. And you know, I said, so when you go home to eat, what does your mother make? And, of course, it was your traditional Southern fried stuff with lots of gravies and things and biscuits. And then at the school, he lived on campus, he went down to the cafeteria and you know, they were kind of, you know, fixing the same stuff. And I said, why don't you change up what you're eating? And so he hung out with me for a while. And we were going for, you know, some really simple sandwiches and salads and, you know, getting more fruits and vegetables in the diet and getting away from a lot of fried stuff. And he, after, I want to say 3 months, he wasn't having to take the Mylanta. And I said, well, see, you just fixed your problem all by yourself. It's diet related. And, you know, it should be a clue because he said his mother had something like 3 feet of her intestine removed. I'm like, well, and she learned to cook from her mom. So look at the family tree. If you got these problems in the family tree and we tend to eat like our relatives, duh, need to make some changes. Mediterranean diet, go to that one. You'll be glad. All right, we got a few minutes. Oh, if you're looking for some digestive herbs that will help soothe the digestive tract, the folks at Apothecary Herbs have a bunch of that stuff. If you're worried about overeating, gas or bloating, cramping, any of that stuff, they have a list of stuff over there at thepowerherbs.com. Give them a call at 866-229-3663. You'll be empowered. All right, so we got a few minutes. I'm going to talk about some technology for your brain. Hey, Frank. What did you say, Frank? Did you say something, Frank? Well, we're going to move on to the brain technology thing. And we've all heard about, you know, the artificial intelligence and all this stuff and the technology companies that are booming in the medical sector and all this stuff and breakthrough technology, we're being told. Medical science will defeat diseases. You wait and see. Yeah, well, we were told penicillin would do that. They want to kind of merge technology into the human body. That I've been hearing a lot. And it's kind of freaking me out, to be honest. Brian Johnson, founder of Kernel, says, we are unlocking the true potential of the mind and is the single greatest thing humanity can achieve. He goes on to say, to further explore our human boundaries and through new technologies to emerge as a success we are meant to be. So they want to expand human abilities through technology. Be stronger, be smarter, be faster, that kind of thing. Sort of like, you know, Steve Austin and the $6 million man. Another goal of the brain chip technology that's coming out is to take human brains to a different cognitive capability. So the tech world is calling this cognitive enhancement, and they hope to have all these features to enhance the human mind available by 2030. And the first implants are being available sooner, but they're working the bugs out. So they want to perfect your memory, give you a photographic memory. You never forget a thing that you look at or see. They want to create the ability to delete memories at will, like deleting files on your computer so they don't bother you and cause you anxiety. They want to increase learning speed. They want to improve brain-to-brain communication with mind reading. And they also want to do brain-to-computer interfaces. I know. DARPA says this, the interface world serves as a translator conversion between the electrochemical language used in the human neurons of the brain and the ones and zeros that constitute the language of the information technology sector. Uh-huh. Yeah. Kind of decode the human brain. So it's kind of blowing a lot of people's imagination, Riley. Research in this technology is wide open. Whatever you think up, that's what you're going to see. So it's almost like if they want to build a lot of these chips, they may even put in hologram capabilities where the person can just think of what it would be like to, you know, step back in time, experience a historic event, or maybe project their image into another area of the world and talk to somebody over there instead of, you know, conferencing through the internet. They want the brain chip technology to be able to take your mind anywhere you want to go. So we are hearing conversations in the technology world of making chip devices that can provide mental experiences. Almost sounds kind of like a brain chip that will replace street drugs or marijuana and hologram devices where you kind of lose yourself in an experience there. So it's probably going to be available to wealthy individuals at first, but scientists respond in comparison saying the brain chips will be more affordable, just as common as smartphones in the future. The question is, how are they going to get the chip in your brain? Not everyone can afford a brain surgery. How are they going to do that? Or maybe it's going to be through a vaccine, an mRNA, and it just travel there through the blood system. Maybe that's how it's going to work, right? Frank says what? Or you're well, here is a quote from MIT. Ultimately, we want a brain chip as big as a fingernail to replace one big supercomputer. They want a supercomputer your head. Well, and they're going to experiment on the military at first. That's where they're going with this. DARPA has devoted $60 million to making an implant wideband brain-computer interface, according to Extreme Tech, January 2016. So they're dumping a lot of money into this, a lot of nanotechnology in it. Soft Machines Brain Chips publication said this: the central ingredient to the brain chip approach is a field effect transistor, which is granted by the stimulation of the nerve cells, and it is a conduit to contact with. For instance, the current passed between the source and the contacts of the transistor depends on the voltage state of the membranes in the contact with the brain chip. Gosh, right? What about EMPs? What about if you go through, you know, airport security, you get scanned? What about x-rays or CT scans? You got a brain chip. What is that going to do? What is that's electromagnetic fields. What's going to happen to your brain? Is it going to, like, blow off of your shoulders? I can understand people that have chronic seizures and paralysis, PTSD maybe going for this, or people, stroke patients, other trauma patients, I can get that. But for the general population, I don't think so. I mean, could somebody hack your brain chip, Frank? Hack your brain. Is your brain going to be hackable? I wonder. I mean, they can't keep your credit card safe and your bank account safe. How are they going to keep your brain safe? All right, enough of that. Call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. Get their free catalog, 866-229-3663, or go to thepowerherbs.com and be empowered. We're out of time, so the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before you use any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, wish you all to be well.